The third case for oral argument this morning is Total Auctions and Real Estate Appellants versus South Dakota Department of Revenue. For the appellants, we have Mr. Casey Fiedler and Mr. Christopher Fiedler, attorneys from Sioux Falls. I understand that Casey Fiedler will be presenting this morning, correct? All right. And for the appellee, Department of Revenue, we have Mr. James Moore, an attorney from Sioux Falls. Justice Wilbur has disqualified herself, and we're very pleased to welcome back an old friend. Justice Konenkamp, who served this court for many years. With that, Mr. Fiedler, you may proceed, sir, and you have 20 minutes.
May it please the court, counsel. I'm Casey Fiedler, and I represent the appellants Total Auctions and Real Estate, Jason Borman, and Andrew Haar on this appeal. I want to say that I'm honored and privileged to be here. This is my first time appearing before this court. It's exciting, it's nerve-wracking, so I guess we'll just see how this goes.
Well, we've all been in that position. If that makes it any better.
It does, Chief Justice. Everybody tells you it's how painless, but we'll see. The primary issue before the court is whether the complaint states a valid claim for relief under any legal theory. The complaint alleges claims of negligence, negligent supervision, and respondeat superior. It does not allege negligent misrepresentation, and the term negligent misrepresentation never appears in the complaint.
Then what's the negligence if it isn't a negligent misrepresentation?
The duty to use ordinary care, reasonable care under the circumstances. Once somebody...
In what?
In performing your designated duties as I outlined or detailed by the state, publicly listed on the Department of Motor Vehicles website as your defined duties. Once Agent Risby undertook the duty to provide those services to Total Auctions, he now has a duty to perform them with reasonable care.
And in what way was he not reasonably careful?
Agent Risby failed to ensure or verify that the information he provided Total Auctions was researched, reviewed, accurate, and...
Accurate means correct.
Correct. And funneled up the chain of command... according to the department procedures and protocols that are established within that department. He had a duty to follow those policies and procedures. Had he done that, we wouldn't be here today because his error would have been caught by the legal department within the DMV, and the opinion issued would have not been the same. It would have been an unfavorable opinion, and that would have prevented the harm. The defense wants this court to believe that although postured as negligence, essentially what we are claiming is a negligent misrepresentation claim. However, the defense is not allowed to rewrite our complaint or dictate our theory of recovery so that it can defend against the only claims that it wants to defend against. The primary issue is construing all facts properly pleaded as true and resolving all doubt in favor of the pleader, Total Auctions. Do the allegations of the complaint state a claim for relief under any legal theory? In doing so, the court must go beyond the allegations for relief and examine the complaint to determine if it states a valid claim for relief under any legal theory. The court must treat as true all the facts properly pled and resolve all doubts in favor of Total Auctions. A motion to dismiss tests the legal sufficiency of the complaint rather than the facts which support it. This court has said over and over again that the rules of civil procedure prefer disposition of cases by trial on the merits or summary judgment and not motion to dismiss. Therefore, the motions to dismiss are viewed with disfavor and seldom prevail. In this case, the circuit court erred in applying that standard to the defendant's motion to dismiss. The circuit court failed to treat as true all facts properly pleaded in the complaint. The circuit court resolved all doubts in favor of the defendants rather than Total Auctions. The court examined the complaint under one legal theory, negligent misrepresentation, the theory advanced by the defense, and not under negligence as alleged in the complaint. And finally, the circuit court failed to analyze whether Agent Risby's failures to follow the protocols and procedures established by the department constitute negligence, which is a key allegation in the complaint, that he did not follow those procedures. Had he followed those procedures, it would have prevented the exact harm that was sustained by Total Auctions here. We are asking the court to reverse the circuit court's decision granting the defendant's motion to dismiss and remand the case back to the trial court for trial on the merits. On appeal, this court's the circuit court decision is granted no deference, and a question of whether the motion to dismiss was properly granted is a legal question reviewed de novo. Agent Risby's failure to follow those established department protocols and procedures is negligence under the laws of South Dakota. The law in South Dakota holding state employees liable for the negligence in the performance of their official duties is well established. It goes back to 1896. The cases of State v. Ruth, which held the state, its agencies, and their employees are liable for negligence in the performance of their duties. The court recently revisited the standard of review on a motion to dismiss in the Mord Horse v. Dakota Truck Underwriters case, 2016 SD70. And according to the Mord Horse holding, the primary question before the court is whether the complaint asserts facts that, if true, establish the necessary elements of negligence or negligent supervision. The circuit court stopped its analysis after the negligence of Agent Risby because it determined that was a misstatement of law, not actionable, and as such, that we had no other causes of action as a result. That's not where the analysis stops. Total Auctions' negligent supervision claim against Director Lorenz is separate and distinct from any of the claims against Agent Risby. To state a valid claim for negligence in South Dakota requires four elements: duty, breach of that duty, causation, and damages. The complaint here alleges that Rizvi owed Total Auctions a duty to exercise reasonable care under the circumstances. Reasonable care under the circumstances in this case required that Agent Rizvi verify the guidance, direction, and instruction he provided was researched, accurate, and in accordance with the DMV regulations, and required him to follow and conform his conduct to be in compliance with those protocols and procedures that the department has put in place as safeguards to prevent these harms. That duty of reasonable care, the scope of it is based on the relationship of the parties and the foreseeability of the harm. Here, the state of South Dakota holds Agent Rizvi out as one of three dealer agents in the entire state. They direct people, entities with questions on dealer licensing laws and compliance to contact dealer Agent Rizvi for answers. The state of South Dakota also holds Agent Rizvi out as having the authority to provide the exact services and information that he provided to Total Auctions here. According to the DMV website, his duties include answering dealer business questions, providing training and instruction on compliance and procedures, enforcing laws and regulations, investigating complaints and violations, and conducting inspections. The state encourages individuals and entities to seek out dealer agents like Agent Rizvi to answer their questions, to give them guidance, to provide instruction on compliance with the motor vehicle dealer licensing laws and regulations. Total Auctions did exactly what it was directed to do. Total Auctions followed the only available procedure identified by the state to obtain answers and instruction on its dealer licensing questions.
Were some of these questions the type that your client should have consulted an attorney for advice regarding?
Maybe, but I feel like the should have got a lawyer defense is more of a contributory negligence argument that they can bring in at the proper point in time, not at the motion to dismiss standard. I mean, are we going to say that every South Dakotan has to get a lawyer's advice on all their matters? I mean, in Martin, the citizen would have to drive 90 miles. There's other counties like around where I grew up, Hutchison, where you probably have to drive to Freeman to get a lawyer. Or is it better to allow the citizens of South Dakota to rely on the position and authority that the state holds these state employees out as having, and the knowledge that they possess, and the skill set that they can provide? But if the court would say that, you know, perhaps maybe they should have gotten sought legal opinion, I believe that is a contributory negligence argument that is not part of the motion to dismiss. When we talk about foreseeability and the duty that Agent Rizvi owed Total Auctions, it's based on the totality of the circumstances. Here, we're not talking about an isolated event, email, or phone call. Rather, over a period of approximately 30 days, we're talking about continuous contacts, interactions, and encounters between Agent Rizvi and Total Auctions. Agent Rizvi stops out at their facility in T. He goes as far as making a phone call to the owner of Lake Herman Auto and tells him, instructs him on the necessary paperwork for consignment vehicles. And as I said, once a person undertakes that duty, he is required to perform that duty with reasonable care. Element two, as far as breach is concerned, the complaint alleges that each act, omission, and failure of Agent Risby violated those established procedures and protocols by the DMV, and that those failures amount to a failure to perform or the negligent performance of his designated duties. This court must accept those allegations as true. And when accepting them as true, the allegations establish that Agent Risby had a duty to follow those procedures and protocols. He did not. He breached that duty. In causation, the complaint alleges as a direct and proximate result of Agent Risby's negligent performance of his duties, including his failure to follow those protocols and procedures, Total Auctions was damaged. In the fourth element, damages, the complaint alleges that as a result of Agent Risby's negligence, Total Auctions sustained significant financial damages and other harms. Now, the negligent supervision analysis gets a little slippery. The defense claims that there can be no negligent supervision claim without an underlying tort. I respectfully disagree with that, but even if that were the case, negligence is the underlying tort. Agent Risby was negligent. That supports the negligent supervision, which carries over to the respondeat superior. Recently, the U.S. District Court Judge Lawrence Pearsall, he addressed the negligent supervision issue in the context of wrongs committed within the scope of employment, such as we have here, and the requirement of whether or not the plaintiff established an independent theory of recovery. That case is Finkel v. Regency CSP Ventures Limited Partnership, 27 F sub 3D996.
Did you cite that in your brief?
I apologize, Chief Justice. We did not, and I just showed Mr. Moore the decision or a copy of the opinion this morning.
Well, you can still talk about it, but you just have to furnish us 10 copies.
Yes.
After the argument.
Yes, Chief Justice.
Okay, thank you.
And in that case, Judge Pearsall seemed to agree with me, and he said in the three major opinions published by the South Dakota Supreme Court related to negligent supervision that in all those cases, the employee was acting outside the scope of his employment and that the conduct was intentional rather than negligent. Judge Pearsall said that the exact issue of requiring an independent tort in negligent supervision claims had not been addressed by this court. As such, he undertook an examination of the different views from jurisdictions to decide what he believed this court would adopt. And Judge Pearsall determined that this court would adopt the minority view, stating that a plaintiff is not barred or precluded from bringing a negligent supervision claim and a respondeat superior claim when it is alleged that the wrong or the act was committed within the scope of employment, that those two claims are mutually exclusive and independent, and that the duty is not imputed from the agent to the principal, but flows directly from the employer to the injured third party. Equally as important in the court's analysis of negligent supervision claim, Judge Pearsall does not have or does not include any discussion requirement for an independent theory of recovery. Instead, Judge Pearsall says that a negligent supervision claim should be analyzed under the same standard as a basic negligence claim, in that duty, breach, causation, and damages. And the duty to him is that of ordinary care. A negligent supervision claim alleges that the employer inadequately or defectively managed, directed, or oversaw its employees. And I see I am out of time.
You are. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Moore, you have 20 minutes, sir.
Good morning. May it please the court. Total Auction's argument is essentially that it should be allowed to pursue a negligence claim to recover purely economic loss or lost profit against a government official based on advice that was or was not given about whether the plaintiff's business plan complied with South Dakota law. No case in South Dakota supports such a claim, and the decision in Meyer versus Antima expressly precludes it, which is why this is one of the rare cases in which it was appropriate for the circuit court to grant the motion to dismiss. I think the problem that Total Auctions has on appeal is that Meyer versus Santima, the decision can't be pigeonholed like they want it to be. The primary argument is that it's a different case because it was a negligent misrepresentation claim, and negligence is what's pleaded here, not negligent misrepresentation. The problem with that argument is the one that Justice Severson pointed out. The negligent conduct here is whatever advice was or was not given by Agent Rizavi to Total Auctions, and that's abundantly clear from the 13 paragraphs in the complaint that you need to accept as true, that expressly state that the problem is advice, representations made by Agent Rizavi about whether Total Auction's business plan complied with South Dakota law. Clearly, the complaint alleges representations regarding compliance with South Dakota law. That is the guts of Meyer versus Santima. That's what the case is about. And it doesn't matter whether you call it negligence or negligent misrepresentation. You can look at the elements of negligent misrepresentation and say, when you get right down to it, the decision in Meyer versus Santima wasn't decided on the basis that one or more of the elements of that tort were not met. The basis for the decision was that the recipient of the information in that case was presumed to know the law, and misrepresentations of law are not actionable. If you look at the Carolina chloride case, which is one of the extra jurisdictional cases that we cite, it's interesting that there were claims for both negligence and negligent misrepresentation pleaded in that case. The court on appeal simply construed them to be essentially the same claim, and I think that's the correct analysis. The label doesn't matter here because the tortious conduct is the representation. Mr. Fiedler says, well, we have an issue of due care, but you have an issue of due care and a failure to use due care every time there's an alleged negligent misrepresentation or there's alleged negligence. The injury is caused not by the failure to use care. The injury is caused by the representation that was made based on the failure to use due care. And that's why I think ultimately at the end of the day, you can't get around the decision in Meyer versus Santima. I think it's worth noting that that the decision is based on good public policy. And that is principally what's discussed in the other cases. But if you look at the Meyer decision, it cites to the Northern Air Products case, which was a zoning ordinance case involving whether a permit was needed for an outdoor rock concert in Minnesota. And the court in that case announced the rule, the public policy rule that supports the decision, and Northern Air is expressly cited by this court in Meyer. And of course, the principle involved there is that subjecting county officials to the prospect of liability for innocent misrepresentation would discourage them from doing their job, essentially. And at the end of the day, I think that however you construe Agent Rizzovi's obligations as a dealer agent, and I would caution the court not to go beyond, again, the scope of the complaint. Some of Mr. Fiedler's argument about what's on the website and so forth is outside the record in this case and is beyond the allegations of the complaint. But if you look at what he's doing, yes, his role as a dealer agent is to serve the public and to answer questions, some of which are going to be about compliance with rules and regulations of the department, some of which may implicate legal questions. But that distinguishes a dealer agent. It does not distinguish a dealer agent from a lot of other public officials. And the zoning ordinance cases are the ones that are primarily cited, but you can also have a similar situation with a revenue agent, for instance. And obviously, if those folks are exposed to liability every time someone claims that they made a misrepresentation about how the law applies to their situation, you can guess what the result is going to be in terms of their conduct. They're not going to be very helpful to the public anymore. And to go there, you have to get past the presumption stated in Meyer that the recipient of the information is presumed to know the law. So it's not a contributory negligence defense that you should have consulted a lawyer. It's a presumption that it's in your best interest to consult a lawyer because you are, in fact, presumed to know the law. That's Meyer versus Santima. And I think that's dispositive of the case against Agent Rizzovi. With respect to the negligent supervision argument, our position that Judge Song accepted is that if there is in fact no underlying tort, then there's no basis for a negligent supervision claim. Mr. Fiedler brought up the Finkel decision today. I was involved in the Finkel case at trial. I wasn't involved in the briefing, and so I didn't review it before today because it wasn't briefed. Finkel resulted in a defense verdict at trial and therefore was not appealed. So Judge Pearsall's ruling on the negligent supervision issue did not get up to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. I think that Judge Pearsall's decision in that case, adopting the minority view, was not the right result. I think that the decision that Judge Song reached in this case is more consistent with this court's cases and with the majority of courts elsewhere that have said that if there's no underlying negligence, then the supervisor can't be negligent for failure to supervise. And I would make two points with respect to Mr. Fiedler's argument. One is that if that's not the case, then the tort of negligent supervision essentially becomes nothing more than a rule of vicarious liability. It becomes essentially nothing more than respondeat superior, which is not the allegation in this case. The allegation is a failure to supervise. And the second thing is, if you look at all of the cases involving negligent supervision that have been decided by this court, they all involve an underlying tort. They all involve some sort of clear underlying negligence based on which negligent supervision was alleged. And I would point out in this case as well that that factually, if you look at the allegations in the complaint, it's clear that Ron Rizzovi's supervisor, Peggy Lorenz, who was the head of the Department of Motor Vehicles at the time, that she in fact did her job. She is the one who called Total Auctions a couple of days before the first auction and said, hey, wait a minute, you can't do this. So the facts don't even support the claim based on the allegations of the complaint itself. So I think that both claims fail as a matter of law. They were properly dismissed, and unless the court has other questions, that's all I have today.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Thank you.
Mr. Fiedler, you have 10 minutes for rebuttal, sir.
I should have saved more time. First, I'd like to point out that paragraph 10 of the complaint states, as employees of the Department of Motor Vehicles, dealer agents are responsible for answering dealer business questions, providing training and instruction on compliance and procedures, enforcing laws and regulations, investigating complaints and violations, and conducting inspections. That is exactly what I told the court earlier, as the duties listed on the website. Mr. Moore leaves out a key distinction in the Meyer v. Santima decision. They rely heavily on this case, but that case was decided on a summary judgment motion, not at a motion to dismiss. We all know that the standard or the legal hurdle for a motion to dismiss and a summary judgment are entirely different. The motion to dismiss standard is lower. All that has to happen is that the complaint must contain allegations, facts that, if true, state a valid claim for relief under any legal theory. Another distinguishing factor was that case was decided based solely on a negligent misrepresentation theory. This court and the circuit, they never even heard or analyzed the case facts according to the negligence principles. Negligent misrepresentation has different elements than negligence. Negligence was not pleaded, discussed, addressed, or analyzed in Meyer. Mr. Moore also leaves out an important part of that holding in Meyer, that it says Meyer was presumed to know the law, comma, including the nature and extent of the city's authority. Here we're not talking about a public official where the public policy argument makes perfect sense. Those guys have full-time jobs, could be a banker, a farmer, an auto mechanic, a plumber, an electrician, and they serve on the council as a civic duty. Agent Risby is a state employee. His full-time job is answering dealer motor vehicle licensing questions. It's just the different context of to support the public policy argument behind that. And the reasoning, I get it, that it is sound because farmer is a city councilman only one day out of the month, but he's a farmer 360 days out of the year. And that including the nature and extent of the city's authority, that's important because total auctions followed the only available procedure identified by the state in order to obtain answers and instruction on its dealer licensing question. The state holds him, dealer agent Risby, out as having the authority to provide the exact information, instruction, and guidance that he provided to total auctions here. Given his status, given his title, and how the state, holds him out, it's reasonable for them to believe and rely on the guidance and instruction he provides them, such that they shouldn't have to get a lawyer to verify what he said or verify if it was, accurate. Mr. Moore also claimed that the failure to use due care in our case is based on those misrepresentations. And That's not the case. The negligent misrepresentation is one of Agent Rizvi's negligent acts. Just one. We could have included that as another count, but we also have his failure to follow those procedures and protocols. Those safeguards are in place to protect against the very exact harm suffered by Total Auctions here. Had he done it, had he ran his decision or his opinion up the chain of command as he was required to, it would have been caught. Total Auctions would have never incurred all those financial damages, and we wouldn't be here. Additionally, in the Meyer v. Santima case, the Supreme Court did state that the councilman's negligent misrepresentations might have been actionable if Meyer had relied on them. However, the decision doesn't say, but if it was a deposition or a request for admission, but it said by Meyer's own admissions that the defendants were not to blame for his closing on the land sale because he didn't close until after the mayor said he would rezone it. Agent Rizvi and Director Lorenz must be held accountable for their negligent performance of their designated duties. If not here, then when? This is the precise situation envisioned to be covered by the PEPL. The PEPL was established to cover liability for a state employee's negligence in the performance of his duties within the scope of employment. Because of that PEPL protection, Agent Rizvi and Director Lorenz are free to perform their job duties, tasks, and responsibilities without fear of public reprimand or repercussions or being voted out, and they will not be deterred from future service. It's not the sky is falling situation as claimed by the defense. Agent Rizvi and Director Lorenz, if this court decides that they should be held responsible for their negligence, it's not going to change any law. It's simply going to confirm what the court's already said. And it's not going to inhibit them or any other state employee from discharging their official responsibilities. Accepting the defense position would be denying Total Auctions its day in court, and in effect, it would be condoning the state employee's right to do his or her job negligently with impunity as far as innocent parties who suffer economic loss. This leaves Total Auction with no legal remedy. I'll just end with, the reason why these policies and procedures are critically important is because they provide guidelines for a state employee's job performance. They provide the standard by which an employee will be held accountable or measured for his actions during the course of his employment. They provide the necessary safeguards to protect those persons who the state employee provides services to and on behalf of. The employee must ask themselves, have I read and reviewed, and do I understand the procedures and policies established by my department related to my job? The state supervisors need to ask themselves, are the employees under me actually carrying out and following the established department policies and procedures? And the answer to both of those questions must be yes. However, in this case, the answer to both of those questions is obviously no. It is critically important that all state employees understand and be held accountable for following the department policies and procedures, because those policies and procedures are designed to be the initial safeguards intended to protect and prevent South Dakotans from suffering the exact harms, damages, and losses sustained by Total Auctions here. Had Agent Risby simply followed those protocols and procedures established by the department, we would not be before this court today. We respectfully request that this court reverse the circuit court's decision granting the motion to dismiss and remand it back to the circuit court for trial on the merits. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fiedler. The court will be in recess. Thank you.